1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There's been a delay in the plan to release hostages being held by Hamas, and senior Israeli sources now say this will not happen before Friday. ABC's Liz Landers has more.
Prime Minister Netanyahu assured lawmakers and Israelis that all hostages will be brought home in stages. An initial 50 hostages will be released in the current deal, including Americans. He also vowed to prepare for war during the ceasefire and said it will carry on until Hamas is destroyed.
The FBI says after an investigation, it's found no terrorism nexus to Wednesday's car crash and explosion near a border crossing between the U.S. and Canada. Two people in the car were killed in the crash near Niagara Falls, New York, that led authorities to close nearby crossings for several hours. Some residents of Livingston in eastern Kentucky have evacuated their homes after at least 16 cars from a CSX freight train derailed. Two of them were carrying molten sulfur, which has caught fire. This is ABC News. A temporary New York statute that allows adults who say they were the victims of sexual assault to sue decades later expires Thursday. Wednesday, a woman filed suit against a rock and roll legend.
Sheila Kennedy says she was partying with Axl Rose and friends at a club and then his hotel suite in Manhattan in 1989 when things turned violent. In a newly filed lawsuit, she claims a drug-fueled Rose violently dragged her down a hallway in the suite and then raped her, an experience that has left her with PTSD, anxiety, and depression, and also hurt her career as a model and actress, she says. Rose's lawyer says in a statement that the incident never happened and the singer has no memory of ever meeting Kennedy. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Back in July, the Archbishop of Mobile, Alabama suspended a priest named Alex Crow after he fled to Italy with an 18-year-old woman who was a recent high school graduate from the area. State records show the two were recently married. The Archbishop says he expects the Vatican will continue moving forward and remove Crow from the priesthood. Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Flags across Wisconsin are lowered to honor the victims of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, which happened 2 years ago Wednesday. Six people were killed and 60 others were injured. A permanent memorial was dedicated in Waukesha on Tuesday. Wisconsin deer hunters registered more than 92,000 deer over the opening weekend of the gun season. That's a 16% drop from last year and 10% lower than the five-year average. Jeff Pritzel is with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
That wasn't unexpected because of comparing last year. We had snow cover. We didn't this year. And so we kind of anticipated we wouldn't hit last year's opening weekend marks.
It was one of the safest opening weekends on record. Only two people were injured by gunshots. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks can't stop the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks came up short in Boston, losing to the Celtics 119-116. That snapped the Bucks' five-game winning streak. Giannis Antetokounmpo says they've got to do a better job defending against the three-point shots.
We just got to be better. Got to better the one shoot a lot of threes. They get comfortable by shooting threes. They play well when they shoot threes. And then they're able to break down your defense and drive the ball, get in the paint, and then drive, kick it out for another three.
And NFL, the Packers placed two players on injured reserve. Rookie tight end Luke Musgrave suffered a lacerated kidney in their win over the Chargers on Sunday. Running back Emmanuel Wilson also on IR with a dislocated shoulder. College football, the Badgers getting ready to face Minnesota. Wisconsin coming off that overtime win against Nebraska. Head coach Luke Fickell.
Most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about. You know, we're the most prepared team.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 29. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, 13. High of 27 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 28.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Live from Richland Center, Wisconsin, in the studios here at WRCE. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer back at the world headquarters of Madison, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Good afternoon. It is Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It is hump day, Mr. Zommers. Well, it was. Camels, wait. Apparently, the camel did not get the call that the show was beginning.
So much rhythm on the show.
Bit of a sluggish camel this Wednesday.
Yeah. The timing is impeccable.
Yep. Well, anyway, we can only go uphill from here. Welcome in, everybody. Happy to have you along. Perhaps you are traveling across the state of Wisconsin on your way to a Thanksgiving event. Maybe you're taking us along on the Civic Media app across the U.S., wherever you are at. We are happy that you are with us today. Drive safely, travel safely. There is no vacation on this day before Thanksgiving for our regular guests on Crossover Wednesday. We are joined from beautiful Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin by our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning across Civic Media and on the app from 6 until 8. And from the nation's capital, originally from River Falls, Wisconsin, it is Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Mr. Kreitlow, what's popping on this day before Thanksgiving on the banks of Lake Wissota?
Well, like you, it's just one more work day before the holiday, but I get a chance to be jealous of you. You're sitting in front of a cornucopia there. It looks like the Thanksgiving table is prepared, and you're going to be carving up, you know, some roast beast here real soon for folks. Trigvi's over there doing costume changes, you know, on live video over here. This show has everything today. It really does.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because my younger sister who lives in Eau Claire, she and her family are literally coming into town right now. And we were trying to decide, do we do the show live from mom's kitchen or we do it from the radio station here, RCE? And we decided if we want to complete just family chaos, we do it at mom's as we get ready. And we thought, no, maybe a little bit more professional at the station. But yes, I did bring the cornucopia fall leaves for the on video.
Here's the thing. We love our family, but they're not all trained broadcasters who are aware that there are words that you don't say, that you might say in your kitchen, that you shan't say on the radio, shall we say.
So. Well, with mom around, though, she probably thinks I say too many words on the radio that she'd rather not say in her kitchen.
Oh, I learned all mine from my mom. I mean, she wasn't in the Navy, but, you know, she swore like a sailor for a reason. So
No, not Miss Linda. She just gives me the look. Like, you shouldn't be saying that.
So, it clearly worked. Look what a gentleman you've become.
Well, once in a while, but no, it's great together with family and friends here. Lots of people coming into Richland Center. I know we talked on your show this morning a little bit. You have family as well.
Yeah, we'll be heading out to, you know, my wife grew up on a dairy farm near Manitowoc, and we'll be out there, you know, having the traditional dinner. And I will be happy to have escaped some of the rigors of work. For example, I've spent the past hour and a half reading through the transcript of yesterday's state Supreme Court argument on redistricting, looking for a soundbite, a simple quote card, if you will. And it just, it can't be found. It's, you know, there's sometimes in radio journalism, you're looking for that, you know, 10 to 15 seconds that encapsulates it without the jargon and without people talking over each other. And I will never get this hour back from my life. Never get it back.
An hour you can't get back. Nope. We'll get into that in just a second. But before we do, quickly, Trigvi, you staying out there in D.C. for the holiday? Are you traveling anywhere? Just kind of chilling out and watching the Packers?
No, we don't travel on Thanksgiving.
Good for you.
We travel over to our – we have an elderly couple that we're good friends with. He's like a giant of – it's kind of a D.C. thing. He's a giant of U.S. foreign policy. And so –
oh, nice.
We're making the turkey and taking it to them. Their kids are out in California, so we've been doing Thanksgiving with them all the way back to when he was ambassador in Belarus and I was living in Lithuania. So
look at that, an international Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice connection. I can tell you afterwards about the time I smuggled a turkey into Lithuania. We can talk about Thanksgiving outside the U.S.
Okay, off the record.
I literally smuggled a turkey.
Did you really?
A foreign nation, yeah. Some Polish border guards wanted to seize my turkey.
but you're here to tell the story, obviously.
It would be like trying to bring Spotted Cow into Chippewa Falls.
That's a Hotel California situation, you know.
That's a good line. I'm still.
Well, Pat brought it up. Let's start on topic one here. I know you've talked about it on your show, Pat. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court yesterday took up this case of fair maps, trying to dig through from a legal perspective whether or not the current maps are gerrymandered unconstitutionally. The ramifications could be large. The Supreme Court could find that all of the lines drawn by Republicans in a couple of years ago are unconstitutional, and it could force not just the 99 assembly folks up for election, but all of the state Senate as well, in addition to the congressional delegation. What do you make of the argument so far that I know you said you've kind of sifted through this? What are your just impressions so far by the oral arguments yesterday in the Supreme Court?
You know, the first one I'm going to say is one that I certainly haven't said before, but after listening and now reading back through the transcript and everything, it is entirely possible that a majority on this court comes back and says, we're leaving the maps as is, because even though the legislature did a terrible thing, legislatures can do that. They pass bad bills all the time. They pass things we don't agree with, but do they, you know, as long as they are not clearly in violation of the Constitution, we have to allow them to be, you know, jerks, for lack of a better term. And that could conceivably happen. I don't feel like I've put that out there, where you say the legislative branch has the ability to write things that we don't like, and it maybe tickles but doesn't cross the constitutional line. But the main argument that was put forward yesterday, especially when Justice Rebecca Bradley, a conservative, hammered the point over and over again that we've already done this, we've already talked about this, we've already talked about this. The point that came back was, just because something is unconstitutional and it didn't come up in the last debate, but it's coming up now, doesn't make it any less constitutional. There's not a statute of limitations here. And so if the composition of the court has changed, sure, things happen. I don't know, Roe v. Wade, anybody? Or Plessy versus Ferguson? So there was plenty of room for hypocrisy on the notion of stare decisis and, you know, matters of settled law, shall we say.
Trivia, you traveled the world and you talk a lot about authoritarianism and autocracies. This issue of just going against the Constitution, I think a lot of Wisconsin voters, that's why they voted for Janet Protasiewicz in April, probably also women's reproductive rights as well. But I think, it, you know, it's a 65% pluser in Wisconsin. Wisconsinites just don't like unfair maps. But around the world, this is something where it's kind of a power grab to go against the Constitution sometimes, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's a power grab to go against the Constitution. It's also typically something that that political parties or leaders of such institutions, when they see demographics and electorates going against them, that's what they build. They build systems where the game isn't completely rigged. You're not talking Putin, but the outcomes are predetermined. And in fact, never one to not. I know Pat read the entire briefing, which clearly is more than Scott Walker did, because he put out just an, can you use the word asinine? That's not the radio.
Yeah, that one you can say in the kitchen and the radio booth. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so kind of an asinine tweet, total tomfoolery. A basic understanding of the maps and voting data shows the reason why Wisconsin is a competitive state but solid GOP. The Dem voters are packed into the big cities. Why are they packed? What he doesn't mention is that they packed all the districts into those cities to create a situation where, well, that is true, that that is where the Democratic voters lie, and that probably means that a fair map inherently is going to skew 51 or 52, 49 to 48 towards Republicans. That isn't the case now, where Democrats have to get 55% of the vote to even come close to a majority. So, you know, the whole packing argument, they're just making tired arguments to try and get people who are extremists to buy into what they're saying.
Pat, I know as a former legislator yourself, you understand this keenly, but there was a great article yesterday in The Guardian, and they have a graphic there entitled Wisconsin's State Assembly Consistently Outperforms the State's Partisan Lean. And in 2010, Republicans controlled 61% of the assembly seats, but they only received 52% of the actual votes in the general election. Fast forward to last year, they only received 48%, less than 50, 48% of the general election vote, but now controls 65% of the assembly seats. To a lot of people, that just doesn't add up.
No, it's never added up. And some of us, like I said, saw that right away in 2011. Looked at those maps and said, especially the part about essentially throwing out the standard of following municipal boundaries. You know, so you saw it was much easier to split cities in half or to pack things together, and it undid a lot of the work at the municipal and county level for their map drawing. So we've seen this on and on, and we've now had enough election results, statewide election results, that people understand. Not everybody knows a lot about fractions, but they understand that one half and they understand two thirds. And if you say you are getting maybe about half the votes, you shouldn't get two thirds of the seats in the legislature.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk more on the other side to Trigby about this and much more. But before I let you go, Pat, any final Thanksgiving thoughts? Or going to watch the Packers tomorrow? Any predictions on the Packers-Detroit Lions?
No.
I say this because Earl Ingram has a bet with Gilbert Brown, because Earl, our colleague, is a Detroit Lion fan. And if Detroit loses, he's going to dye his hair.
Oh, my. Yeah. No, wouldn't dream of doing that. I'm just, especially this season. This season is kick back and enjoy, win or lose. And once we know if Jordan Love is staying and the others, I'll get more worked up. But this is my one easygoing year as a Packer fan.
All right, just chill out up there, Lake Wissota.
I'm just gonna chill. That's what I do. I'm so chill.
Happy so chill. Thanksgiving, Pat. Up to you.
I don't
yours.
Believe that either. Holy cow! All right, thanks, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, Pat Kreitlow. Every morning, 6 to 8, Up North News Radio. Back with more after this on the Todd Lovell Show and Civic Media.
Lake Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
What is the meaning behind Movember? It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, on location today at WRCE Studios in Richland Center, Wisconsin, AM 1450, FM 107.7. Here in the hometown, in the Driftless area, it is great to be back in southwest Wisconsin and great to have our regular guest every Wednesday. Grew up here in Wisconsin at River Falls, a product of Wisconsin, spent a lot of years, like I did, in Republican politics, like me, for his own reasons, left the Republican Party, and now it works as a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Always happy to have Trigvi Olsen along with us on a Wednesday. Trigvi, before the break there, talk a little bit about the Scott Walker tweet in terms of gerrymandering and this case before the state Supreme Court. We're going to get back to that in just a minute. But first of all, we have one of our longtime listeners on the phone lines that you can join us as well by calling 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go over to Merrimack. Jack in Merrimack, happy Thanksgiving, Jack, and what say you?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you. I was listening to some of the clips from particularly Rebecca Bradley's interruption of the opening arguments of the attorneys on the gerrymandering, on the redistricting case. And she's pretty clearly concerned that maybe a fairly neutral court wouldn't accept the concept that, as far as I had never heard of it before, was called something like closest to the previous redistricting. I can't remember the exact term that was used, but I'd never heard of that concept before. Change, at least change, that was the term that was used.
At least change.
And to me, the redistricting policy that I heard of that goes back to, I think, the 1960s U.S. Supreme Court was a little thing that apparently the conservative court here in Wisconsin never heard of. It was called one person, one vote. And if you look at the results of the elections and you compare the votes to given to Republicans and the votes given to Democrats, there's a statement in George Orwell's Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. Well, apparently, it only takes one elephant to be about equal to 1.3 or 1.4 donkeys in this particular scenario.
Appreciate the call, Jack. We'll get Trigvi's reaction, but thanks so much for calling in, Jack. Happy Thanksgiving over there in Merrimack. Trigvi, what say you?
Well, so a couple of things on redistricting. So, you know, there's a whole international set of standards that the U.S. helped to push, sort of best practices as it relates to redistricting. I actually have been, I've worked on redistricting in the state of Wisconsin long ago. And I've worked with in other places where redistricting, other countries where redistricting is going on. In fact, I've been working on one recently. I think, you know, Jack makes a good point. I think it was Bradley he was saying was asking questions about, you know, lease change. That is a norm, right? Like, you don't want people to suddenly go from one district to another if they don't have to, right? So they do sort of look at what the districts look like and how do you move the least amount of people between districts. Sometimes when you have a really gerrymandered map, that though becomes a cop-out to leave the maps the way they were, and it just becomes a legal defense for the gerrymandered map. I think the other thing that's important to keep in mind is, you know, the map as it will be drawn, you know, probably will slightly favor Republicans to Democrats just because of the way populations are clustered, but not to the degree that you have now. So, you know, the Democratic side has to have an understanding that the map that comes out isn't going to be a perfect panacea for them, but it's certainly going to be a lot better than what you have now, which is like, you know, it's something that you could have in Turkey or Viktor right. Orban might want in Hungary.
We had on the show yesterday my former boss, Dale Schultz, Republican, former Senate Majority Leader. Also, Tim Cullen, Democratic, former Majority Leader of the State Senate from Janesville. And to his credit, former Senator Cullen, as a Democrat, said, you know, I don't want maps that are gerrymandered to favor Democrats, because then it's just an overreach and we don't look any better than the other side. Because I want truly fair maps. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about here. And I think most Wisconsinites, they don't want to overreach either. And so I think you're right that if done correctly, this is not going to deliver the legislature to the hands of the Democrats per se, but hopefully it will make it more competitive and more even. Because, and maybe talk a little bit about your experience of this, Trigvi. When you have a more competitive district, that forces your candidate to run a more centrist campaign. Explain a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, I mean, because you want to have districts. And I think this is why voters support having a fair map. Voters want to have and deserve the opportunity to change course. And what the map as it's currently constructed does is takes away that opportunity. Because if you know that you're going to win regardless of what positions you take, then the primary becomes the determinant of do you get to hold the seat or not. And that could be true for Democrats in overwhelmingly Democratic districts, Republicans in overwhelmingly Republican districts. Well, then when primaries become the determinant, primaries are a very, very different electorate in terms of their partisan makeup, and tend to be more partisan than the districts as a whole. So it ends up with the extremes being what's elected. Whereas if you have that potential to change course and the general election matters, right? More moderate candidates beat more extremist candidates. That's just true all the time.
I know you said it, and I know as well you worked on redistricting in your time here in Wisconsin. My former boss, the Republican Senate Majority Leader, was not the Majority Leader last time, or in 2011 when the maps were redrawn, but he was a senior member of the Senate Republican Caucus. And he said on the record, he said it before, look, I was, you know, in the room. They made us sign a non-disclosure agreement. And yes, with computer software, they absolutely considered politics in this. It's just disingenuous, is it not, Trigvi, from our former party to say, oh, well, you know, this, there was no politics involved. I mean, they're blatantly lying.
Yeah, and I think it's disingenuous that they were even making a sitting state senator sign a non-disclosure agreement. Like, really? Come on.
Every one of them, right? Did. The entire Republican caucus.
No, I get it. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I just think... it's sad is what it is. Yeah. It was sad. And the truth of the matter is when I worked on redistricting after Democrats had been in power for three decades, right? The map was so gerrymandered the other way, that, you know, that's what happens when you have one party rule for too long. You end up with entrenchment.
Welcome your calls for Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Much more on the other side, including a look at the Packers. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There's been a delay in the plan to release hostages being held by Hamas, and senior Israeli sources now say this will not happen before Friday. ABC's Liz Landers has more.
Prime Minister Netanyahu assured lawmakers and Israelis that all hostages will be brought home in stages. An initial 50 hostages will be released in the current deal, including Americans. He also vowed to prepare for war during the ceasefire and said it will carry on until Hamas is destroyed.
The FBI says after an investigation, it's found no terrorism nexus to Wednesday's car crash and explosion near a border crossing between the U.S. and Canada. Two people in the car were killed in the crash near Niagara Falls, New York, that led authorities to close nearby crossings for several hours. Some residents of Livingston in eastern Kentucky have evacuated their homes after at least 16 cars from a CSX freight train derailed. Two of them were carrying molten sulfur, which has caught fire. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers has pardoned another 82 people, mostly for low-level drug offenses or minor theft. Evers has now pardoned over 1,100 people in his time in office. That's significantly more pardons than any other governor in state history. About a third of those pardoned Wednesday were convicted of possessing or selling marijuana. Felons are eligible for a pardon 5 years after the end of their criminal sentence and cannot have any pending criminal charges or be registered sex offenders. Wisconsin officials are confirming the latest case of bird flu in the state. The Department of Agriculture says more than 51,000 chickens at a poultry farm in Trempealeau County were euthanized to contain the virus. Five birds were infected in a backyard in Taylor County earlier this year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulvey. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, Dom. By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today, with daytime highs approaching 29. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, 13. High of 27 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 27.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field. What the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill. And I'll admit, I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hail myself, hail to me. I'm the crowd who's out to change our history. I'll myself, raise your hand. There's no greater dictator in the land. Everything I do for you. If you're looking for a war, here's World War II. I'll myself, raise your beer. Every hotsy, totsy, Nazi, stand and cheer.
Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, on location at WRCE in Richland Center, 35 now past the hour. Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us each and every Wednesday. Trigvi, never really imagined on a Wednesday we'd be talking about Hotsy Totsy Nazis. That, of course, from the great Broadway show, The Producers. And I told Mr. Zommers on Monday, this happened over the weekend, a bunch of yahoos, 15 or 20 schmucks, drove in a U-Haul with Kentucky plates. But, of course, we don't know that that's actually where they're from. And all but two of them were cowards, yellow belly sapsuckers, and wore masks so as not to be identified. And they got out their swastika flags and the red shirts, so they marched up and down State Street. And I thought maybe The Producers was in town, and I was all excited about that. But no, they're actually despicable, disgusting, real Nazis in Madison. And the only heartening thing about it was the complete and total repudiation of every major leader and lawmaker in the Madison area, including UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin, the mayor of Madison, Sacha Rhodes Conway, also U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Congressman Mark Pocan, the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, the chairman of the Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, all immediately, within minutes if not a couple of hours, put out these repudiation statements. What I found interesting, Trigvi, and I want to be careful not to make direct accusations, but I simply find it interesting. I just checked, still right a minute ago, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, no repudiation other than retweeting Derek Van Odwin's repudiation. Brian Schimming, the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, no repudiation of Nazis. Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Republican, no repudiation of Nazis. Trigvi, you've worked around the world and gone up against schmucks like this. It's not that hard to repudiate.
Nope. I mean, I say it all the time. If I discovered one thing working around the world, democracies die in the silence of those who know better. And, like, this isn't hard. I mean, Derek Van Odwin even got it right. So kudos to him for being against Nazis. But, like, How do you not come out and say, no place for this here in Wisconsin, antithetical to who we are? It's because, you know, honestly, they're afraid of Trump, and Trump is busy. I mean, he's literally quoting Hitler, not by name, but using his lines, vermin, and we're going to round him up, and all that rhetoric. Yeah, it's just, you know, honestly, it's a classic case of a lot of people who are so consumed by the game they know, and they're completely missing the reality of the game we're in. And I'll tell you, Todd, I just got done doing some survey data in Wisconsin. And one of the questions that I ask, in part because I asked it around the world when I'd be surveying places, is, do you consider those who don't share your political opinions trustworthy opponents, or untrustworthy enemies. And in April, I did a survey in Wisconsin, and I was heartened by the fact that 65% of Wisconsinites, which is far better than in most places in the U.S., said that the other side is trustworthy opponents. In this survey that I just got done doing now, it's 62% say enemies.
Wow.
And that's what happens when people aren't speaking out. That's what the silence does, because the silence gets seen by those on the other side of acquiescence. And what you have to constantly be asking yourself in a democracy for it to work is not what your side is thinking or advocating or doing, but how is the other side perceiving it? Because for democracy to work, we adjudicate who holds power and our differences through something called elections. But elections only work if those who voted for candidates that don't get power are willing to accept governance by those who do. And the reason why gerrymandered maps and not condemning a bunch of I can't say that word on the radio, bunch of morons marching up and down in swastikas to up and down State Street, is it further erodes that faith in each other that the other side is trustworthy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one of the things I want to just get your take on, because you're really the one several months ago on one of these conversations on Wednesdays, and again, it's Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, that you made me think about, and you changed the way I speak about it on this show. And I know you're absolutely right, is on Monday, I simply asked those Wisconsinites who were our former colleagues in the Republican Party, people who still may vote for their Republican clerk of court and whatnot, that's not really a part of MAGA, but I simply asked people in terms of this non-defensive Nazis combined with the leader right now, the Republican presidential ticket, Donald Trump being in Iowa, and without any prompting, starts campaigning and bringing up the whole P-tape thing and golden showers in Iowa. And I asked our audience, I said, just those of us who still vote Republican, I don't, but those who do, just simply ask yourself, does this add up? Is this, because when you and I grew up, were coming up, Trygve, Ronald Reagan stood in Berlin and told Gorbachev to tear down the wall. Am I off base here? Ronald Reagan would be the first person to repudiate Nazis.
Yeah. I mean, he, at a minimum, just come out and call them what they are. Like, this tweet is not hard to write. The people who showed up in Nazi outfits on State Street were idiots and morons. There's no place for that in the state of Wisconsin. Period.
Period. Period.
Not complicated.
Right.
Very easy. And it actually, you know, they're probably would say, my guess, well, why do I have to say anything? They're morons and idiots. Because if you don't say anything, it's assumed as acceptance.
Exactly.
And that is more important than any political advantage.
What was
the Democrats are saying we're a bunch of condoners of Nazis and they're trying to use it for political purposes. Yes, because you haven't come out and written the tweet. The people who showed up with swastikas are idiots. There's no place for it in the state of Wisconsin. Period. Full stop. Then you don't have to feel that the other side's beating you up on it.
Yeah. It's not hard. But, no. But I just go back again to where is this party gone? Once the Republican Party, now the MAGA Party. Where is this party, the leadership, not the everyday voter across Wisconsin, but the leadership in Wisconsin and Washington, D.C.? To me, Trygve, and you've talked about this before, but I really go back to this. It is this fear, a true fear, not just political fear, but now we're hearing from Mitt Romney in his new book, there is actual physical fear by Republican lawmakers if they don't toe these ridiculous lines of, you know, they're fine people on both sides talking about Nazis. If they don't somehow toe that line, they are now fearful of violence against themselves and their families.
Yeah. I mean, this is what is what these kinds of forces use. It's not the win-win game of democracy. It's zero sum. And I don't understand it. Like, be true to yourself, right? Like, and I say this truthfully, Robin Voss, I consider him my friend. You know what, Robin? Condone the Nazi guys. If you get blowback, you lose your office, go take more trips with your wife. Right. Enjoy your popcorn business.
I want to correct you.
True to yourself. But you know what? If you are true to yourself and condemn Nazis, Robin, you're going to be a lot better off. And at least you can look yourself in the mirror in the morning and be true to who you are.
I just want you corrected yourself. You said condone, first of all. Condone.
Oh, condemn. Right. Yeah, well, that was a Freudian slip, probably. I didn't get a lot of sleep last. How much time do we have to the break, Summer?
We got like 5 minutes or so.
All right, I'm going to explain something. Right. I am extremely tired. I got this data back.
I think Trigvi's internet connection may also be extremely tired.
Oh, I can hear him.
I cannot. There we go.
You can't hear me?
Now I
can. Now you're back.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm up late last night. I have some new polling data from Wisconsin, right? So I have these questions where we ask people, you know, Todd, what's the most important issue to you in the upcoming election? One word.
Democracy.
Okay, great. So you got 1,000 people who've given you different words, and some people don't follow the instructions of one word, so they write a full sentence or two. Sure. So you have to go through this and categorize it, right? So I thought, what a perfect opportunity to use ChatGPT to go through and categorize this stuff.
Yeah.
So at about 10 o'clock at night, I thought I'll be done with this in an hour rather than me sitting there doing it by hand. And I started doing it. Around 3 o'clock, I was so angry at ChatGPT for its inability to do this, I referred to it as I said it's effing stupid. It gave me a timeout, Todd.
Did it really?
It came back and told me that I couldn't ask it. Yes, 15-minute timeout at 3 in the morning. And I was apoplectic to begin with. I almost punched out my computer screen. I got a timeout from the AI.
Well, they lost their CEO for a while. I guess he's back now. But
trust me, I was going to bring all of that up, except I had 15 minutes to cool off at 3 in the morning. And when I got back to it at 3:15, it acknowledged that it had given me a timeout.
Really?
And suggested that we could restart.
I'm sorry you went through that, but that's a great story. On the phone lines, we have our friend, longtime listener, Jay from across the pond in London, 844-967-2789. If you want to join Trigvi and myself, 844-967-2789. Jay, about a minute and a half left. What say you?
All right, it's a happy Thanksgiving. You and Trigvi and Ron, but Aaron.
Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Yeah, Trigvi, I think I will call next Wednesday after Thanksgiving also, because I want to ask you about the dynamics of NATO, EU, and Asia Pacific. Because what happened most of the people in the United States who believe in democracy, I don't think you people know what you are going to go up against during the election. You will be running against China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, anybody who hates America. And then the Republican Party will be running against with Fox News. The next thing you will see, Russia is going to buy like maybe 30 million of bots on X. And then they will lie about Biden. Probably they will release some phony files about how he contributed to Hunter Biden's business. I will put this theory there. Just check it, brother. Make sure you guys put an eye on this thing. It's not safe. I'm really concerned about this. But next week I will ask you about NATO, EU, Asia, Pacific, and then how Trump treats this as a reflect something.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Okay. Thank you so much for the call. Trigvi, about a minute left.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Europe this summer and spent some time in the Baltic states. And I have a European friend who's in the intelligence sort of foreign policy space. And we were talking and they're convinced that the global risk of, you know, for example, Russia popping off a tactical nuke in Ukraine is increasing. as we get closer to the election, because our own uncertainty is making actors think that they can take some actions. And I really think that, honestly, some of what happened with Hamas, quite frankly, is less of it is it's about that uncertainty. You know?
Cheerful Thanksgiving like news from Trigby.
Yeah.
But serious, but serious and important. We'll come back, lighten up a bit, talk some football after this on the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows like Friends for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tell all the people across the USA, I love my Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers.
Pity Welcome back Chicago, to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location WRCE in the heart of Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center. Now 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, we are joined each and every Wednesday by senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and owner of the Green Bay Packers, or at least one of several, Trigby Olson. You love your Green Bay Packers. Before we get to that, Trigby, a quick off the Facebook line here. Our friend and contributor Jeff Perry says, maybe if the Republican Party is too busy to tweet a condemnation of Nazis, they can use Trigby's AI to do it. And happy Thanksgiving.
The question I have now is if you can even use the word Nazis on AI. Who knows?
Right. I mean, just
I don't
a quick
Jeff getting banned from AI either.
just to finish this up quickly, because there is a really a serious side to this with all this kind of, our CEO and Sage Weil, our CEO and owner Sage Weil is a tech inventor of tech companies and a wizard at it. I just don't get all of it. All I know is it scares the crap out of me, this AI and ChatGPT. But the serious side of this is, the more tumultuous this is, the more chance, Trigby, to Jay's point earlier, that bad actors could get control of this stuff and could wreak havoc politically and just security wise.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, here's the thing is, like, I mean, we're at the early space of this. I remember when I was living over in Lithuania working with Belarusians and Russians and others, I would try sometimes to use Google Translate and it didn't work at all. And now really? If you use Google Translate, it's amazingly good. So, I mean, I just think some of this is an evolution. That said, after my experience last night, I'm not worried about my computer going all Terminator on me anytime soon. Because if it can't sort basic words, but it can do calculus, it can do massive statistical analysis, not analysis, but running code instantaneously, but it can't sort numbers. It's like,
all right, let's get down to it.
I'm glad I don't have a robotic vacuum.
All right, exactly. You don't want one of those. Chase the dog all over the house.
My sister has one, and honest to God, I'm over visiting my sister, and all of a sudden this thing is like roaming the floor. I'm like, First of all, Chloe the bulldog would absolutely kick its posterior.
Robot, yeah. Robot vacuums. You know, anyway. Leave that to the Jetsons. But
we right, digress. We have more important things, like how good Jordan Love looks.
He's looking much, much better. A big game, and you can hear it on many of the Civic Media stations. Of course, we cannot stream it on the Civic Media app. NFL won't let us do it. But if you live here in Richland Center, Wisconsin, on WRCO FM 100.9 and across other stations in Civic Media, you can hear the Packers over the air. Big game tomorrow on Thanksgiving, 11:30 a.m. kickoff. Wayne Larrivee and The Rock have the call. Big question, Trigvy, can the Packers take down the mighty Detroit Lions over in Detroit?
Mighty?
Well, they got a better record than Green Bay right now.
In conjunction with the Detroit Lions? They haven't been mighty since like Sid Luckman was playing quarterback, actually.
I was going to say Barry Sanders. But
Bobby Lane. All right. Bobby Lane. Yeah, it goes way back before that. Actually, Brett Favre and I talked about that game where the Packers held Barry Sanders to like minus 3 yards.
Look at this. Now he's name dropping. He's on one podcast with Brett Favre. Oh, Brett Favre and I were talking about
when my buddy Brett and I were hanging out. Yeah. Yes. Listen, here's the thing. The Lions, I'm kind of happy. We have Michiganders who are probably listening to this up.
Probably.
Jeff Kimmer. I am really happy. Mm-hmm. I, as a Packer fan, that the Lions are better. I really am.
Oh, me
I don't
too,
have
actually.
Any animosity for the Lions. Mm-hmm. Like I do the Vikings. Like, honestly,
I agree.
But yeah, I mean, they're Detroit's a proud franchise with good fans. But here's the thing: this is just a year in which the Packers are going to be, you know, they are what they are, and it's all about discovering who they can be, and I think Jordan Love, okay, so he hasn't been winning some games, but like, you know, I was at the game in Pittsburgh. He made some amazing throws, yeah. Like Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers-esque throws. The guy is not Scott Tolzien or Anthony Dilwig. He's not even Don Majkowski, and I like the magic man. So, you know.
Yeah. I was actually working here right in this very, well, it's a different building now, but at RCO, the day that Majkowski got hurt and Favre came in, I was engineering that game. He used to be, speaking of AI, you didn't have computers to engineer sports. You had to have a live body. And I was right here the day that Favre came in.
You weren't like Ronald Reagan, where you were reading off the ticker and Daryl Thompson goes for two off left tackle. When all you can see is it says Daryl Thompson to your, you have to make it up.
I was really here, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's how Ronald Reagan got his start. He literally would have to make up the baseball and football games. They'd give him, like, you know, I don't know, Ty Cobb with a hit. I think do you remember how bad the Packers were, like, when
we
were at back? Yeah, they were terrible.
They were terrible. And people, I was thinking about this week. I told somebody else, I think, like, if you're 43 or younger, you don't remember when the Packers and the Badgers sucked. You don't.
Todd, when I was at Eau Claire, which is like 86 to 90, right? Mm-hmm. We used to, on occasion, on a Saturday night, after we've had a bunch of beers, make the decision that we were going to get up at 6 in the morning, which was really bright because it was usually about 4 in the morning, that we'd get up at 6 and drive over on Highway 29 to Green Bay. And literally, we would show up over there and we'd find some Packer fan, like an older guy. We'd be like, oh, we've never been to a Packer game. Oh, but we don't know if we can get tickets. Tickets?
Right.
Oh, here, I've got 2 tickets for you. 3 tickets, whatever. Because they could give them away. Like those people, they don't remember what it was like to go to those games. No one's there. You're freezing. And you're watching Scott Tolzien throw 4 picks, including a pick 6.
What do you think? Scott Tolzien wasn't around then.
Blair Keel coming in relief. Scott Hunter. I was at a game with my dad in 86. It was a Packers-Bears game. Uh-huh. It was one of my favorite moments with my dad. It was Monday Night Football. William the Refrigerator Perry ran for a touchdown. He caught a touchdown. And they got down there. Dick ahead and try and throw for a touchdown.
Trigvy Olsen, always appreciate it, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all the listeners, Todd.
Thank you so much. Go Pack Go. Stay with us next hour. We have Phil Knee and my little sister is in town. We'll talk Badger football. It's Axe Week for Wisconsin against the Flexters. Don't go anywhere on the Tahoe Bowl Show.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.